Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with South Africa's national women's football team. The South African ladies are going to the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup with serious intent, hoping to make an impression at the tournament as champions of Africa. Banyana Banyana, as they are affectionately known to their millions of fans, have a well-balanced squad with an eclectic mix of experience and youth. Myron Nika reports from Durban.
The African champions dance and belt out Amakwicho, a Xhosa practice of collective singing embedded in African culture. South Africa will arrive at the FIFA Women's World Cup full of exuberance and hope. The team, coached by former national captain Desiree Ellis, has developed a steely approach since their World Cup debut in France 4 years ago. Banyana Banyana have been preparing for the tournament since winning the Women's Africa Cup of Nations in Morocco last year. Ellis recently named a strong 23-player team for the tournament, anchored by veterans Noko Matlu and Refelwe Jane.
The World Cup is the biggest stage for any individual to participate in, and it's also where you want to test yourself, where you want to, you know, people to remember you, where players are scouted. So, you know, we want to go there, having gone to our first one and not getting the results we wanted, and going there and wanted to really put up a good performance. You know, like I said, this team has matured tremendously over the last year and a half and has played really, really well and gotten better. The players have gotten better because it really allows us to push them to the next level. We spoke about WAFCON and World Cup being two completely levels, and it definitely is, and our training has been geared towards that, you know, and the players have been absolutely magnificent.
Banyana Banyana have been drawn in Group G, the proverbial group of death, alongside Argentina and European giants Italy and Sweden. It'll no doubt be a baptism of fire for the youngsters in the squad, with Ellis including uncapped striker Wendy Shongwe, as well as goalkeeper Kebotseng Moletsane, who's played only once for the senior team. Ellis admits that it will be tough to navigate their way out of the group, but remains confident they can carry their learnings from the last 4 years into the tournament.
It's important when you go to a tournament, players have individual goals, we have team goals, and I think any team that goes to a tournament wants to do well. And even though it's our second World Cup, we also have ambition. Yes, it's a tough group, but we know how well we can play. And those are some of the things that we've been thinking about to try and get out of the group stage, because we feel they have a team that can possibly do that. It's tougher this time around, though. In 2019, the top two and the two best third place. Now there's no best third place. It's got to be top two. So we got to make sure, that we get a positive result in the first game, and we'll take it game by game, then concentrate on the next one and the next one.
It's a sentiment shared by team captain Refelwe Jane.
A lot of lessons were taken from the previous encounter of the FIFA Women's World Cup. So we go into this one a little bit more experienced. The experience that we got from the previous one, including also the Women's AFCON. So we go there better players and better human beings. So we're hoping that we can even come back with better results from the previous time.
Jane, a veteran of 132 caps, plays her football in Italy for Sassuolo. She says the team accepts the expectation on their shoulders, given their status as continental champions.
Going into the World Cup, all eyes will be on South Africa. They will want to see what is it that you have to showcase. It's pressure. It's welcomed. Football is a sport of pressure. So we will do what we have to do. We will not dwell on the past results or previous tournaments. We go out there with so much experience, and we're hoping that we can even showcase that in our performances.
Banyana Banyana, who will be based in Wellington in New Zealand, will wrap up their preparations with a game against Costa Rica next Saturday. It'll present one last chance for Ellis and her charges to ready themselves for the battle ahead.
Look, we don't want to give too much away because we know our next game is Sweden. But we will use that also to see, you know, what we still need to do, because that will be the last friendly before that. But we will try not to give too much away, because we know they will be watching. But we'll be working extensively in training on how we want to play. And when we look at that friendly, there's still a couple of days before our first game. And then we'll have to see what we still need to do or need to do before we're absolutely ready for that first game.
They start their campaign against Sweden, who are ranked third in the world, on the 23rd of July.
We've played Sweden, I don't know how many times, a couple of times, and it's always an exciting encounter when we play them. And playing them in the first game is not going to be easy. We have to make sure that we set the pace, we set the standard. And a good performance or a good result against Sweden will kind of give us the motivation to advance.
Banyana Banyana have enjoyed a competitive training camp. But just this week, their preparations were disturbed due to an impasse between the players and South Africa's National Federation, SAFA. The main issue at hand was around finances and contractual agreements based on their participation at the World Cup. SAFA have since confirmed they've reached an agreement with the players, paving the way for them to head into the competition with their focus firmly intact. Stand by, the Queens of Africa are on their way. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Naika in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. As Myron mentioned, South Africa will face Sweden on the 23rd of July in Wellington, New Zealand, in the opening Women's World Cup match for both teams. The South African women will then play Argentina on the 28th of July and wrap up group play against Italy on the 2nd of August.
Sport greetings. This is Bruce Mwape, the head coach of Zambia's national women's football team, the Copa Queens, and you are listening to the Sun Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Coach Bruce Mwape and the Copper Queens of Zambia will be making their debut at the Women's World Cup. Zambia is coming off a 3-3 draw with Switzerland in a friendly World Cup warm-up match, and they're now looking ahead to a big friendly on Friday against Germany. Coach Mwape's 23-player team is led by Captain Barbara Banda. The Zambian women, like the South African women, will be based in New Zealand during group play. Zambia will play its opening match on the 22nd of July against Japan in Hamilton, New Zealand. And after that, the Copper Queens have group matches against Spain and Costa Rica. Sunny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. Tennis, it's day 4 at the prestigious Wimbledon tournament in England. Environmental activists disrupted play during day 3, as we hear now from the AP's Charles de Ledesma.
Protest politics has intruded on Wimbledon day 3. Two environmental activists have been arrested after running onto one of the courts and disrupting a match by throwing orange confetti onto the grass. A pair of Just Stop Oil protesters made it onto the field of play at court 18 before being taken away by security. Play was suspended by rain before the debris was cleared from the court. The All England club has increased its security in coordination with London police and other agencies for this year's tournament. That's in part as a result of protests at other major sports venues in Britain this year. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Thanks, Charles. Meanwhile, Wimbledon Day 3 was another day, another milestone for Novak Djokovic. The Serbian star tallied Grand Slam victory number 350 by beating Australia's Jordan Thompson in straight sets. Defending champion Djokovic joins retired stars Roger Federer and Serena Williams as the only players to have reached 350 wins at major tournaments. At his post-match news conference, Djokovic was asked if he no longer feels pressure on the court.
No, not at all. Every time I walk out on the court, particularly in Grand Slams and center courts, I feel, of course, tremendous pressure and expectations from myself, from people around that are watching live or on TV or the whole tennis world, right? It's a feeling that I'm used to right now by now, and it's something that I also embrace because it's giving me further motivation, you know, to strive to make more history. So it's, I don't think it's ever going to change as long as I'm playing, really. Regardless of the Grand Slam count fact, I still want to make my own results in my own journey, and that's what drives me the most, I think, nowadays.
On the women's side at Wimbledon, Iga Świątek of Poland also advanced to the third round.
Well, for sure, it's really comfortable, you know, and I'm happy that my matches were scheduled under the roof, so I always was certain that it's going to actually happen, you know. It's a little bit easier to prepare knowing that. But on the other hand, I know I would still be ready anyway if my match was suspended or something. But yeah, for sure, it's more comfortable. And I would say you have this normal Grand Slam rhythm with one day off and one day of playing matches. I feel really confident. I was able to kind of do everything tactically as I wanted to and as my coach wanted me to do on first and second round. So yeah, I feel confident, and I'm going to try to kind of keep it going.
Keeping it going at Wimbledon, that's Iga Świątek, the world's number one ranked women's player. Golf stars and future stars are shining at this week's John Deere Classic PGA Tour event in Silvis, Illinois. George McNeely tells us more from Silvis.
While North Carolina's JT Poston begins defense of his John Deere Classic title, the largest Pro-Am gallery lined the fairways and greens here at TPC Deer Run to watch another former winner, Zach Johnson, and his very special playing partner, University of Iowa and March Madness sensation Caitlin Clark, who told me this was no day off here.
More than anything, just enjoying the experience. Like you said, this is not an off day for me, but it is something I really, really enjoy and love getting to do this. So it's just cool getting to interact with all the young kids that were here today and really enjoy being around.
Johnson, the Ryder Cup captain, made some news with his response when a reporter inquired about PGA Tour defector Brooks Koepka and his chances of making the team bound for Rome later this year.
These guys that left the PGA Tour that had status and left to play on that other tour, the LIV Tour, they're still members of the PGA of America, and so they're still able to garner points.
Runner-up at the Masters and winner of his third career PGA Championship, Koepka has certainly played his way into the conversation by racking up Ryder Cup points along the way.
The majors counted last year, too, but they were smaller in points. And he's third now after Wyndham Clark has had a nice little run. So he's got a really good chance of making the team, earning his way on the team, which is extremely impressive.
It certainly is. Also impressive is to hear world number 19 Cameron Young talk about the caliber of talent in this year's field. Young recounting playing alongside rookie Ludvig Oddberg of Sweden.
Someone like, I'm paired with Ludvig, right? I don't know him at all. I don't know what his world ranking is. I have no clue. I'd love to look it up, actually. But whatever it is right now, it's not high enough. He's realistically one of the best players in the world already.
Oddberg is ranked 528th in the world, but he has contended as recently as last week on tour. And who knows? Five of the last 11 winners of the John Deere Classic were first-time PGA Tour winners. So why not him? For the Sunny Side of Sports, from the John Deere Classic, I'm George McNeely in Silvis, Illinois.
Thanks, George.
This is the voice of America. Washington, Bamboozit, D.C.
I've been talking with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, about the recent National Basketball Association draft. French phenom Victor Wembanyama, nicknamed Wemby, was the number one pick by the San Antonio Spurs. I asked Mukbil about the overall strength of the draft.
It's been a really, really strong draft, and just running by the top five picks, obviously Victor Wembanyama goes number one to the Spurs. Brandon Miller from Alabama goes second to the Hornets. He's a great pickup, real stretch type of player. Reminds me very much of Paul George-like game. He will be instantly impactful for that Charlotte Hornets team.
They have great players there already. I can say for me, I can bring just a winner. I'm willing to make all the winning plays as far as on or off the court. So a winner.
Scoot Henderson, who was playing in the G League Ignite, so he's another pro, right? He had a pro year. He played really well for the G League Ignite, and he will be playing for the Blazers.
I'm the most prepared player in the draft. You know, that's what I say. So the fact that I went there for 2 years has just taught me so much, you know, on the court as well, but, you know, a lot of things off the court.
Number four and number five, two young brothers, twin brothers, Amen Thompson and Osor Thompson.
Both, the Thompson twins
both played for the Overtime Elite, which is a new league that has just been developed by the Overtime team, where they have six teams in rotation. And they say that this is the best trajectory for young players to go to the NBA.
now, Mukbil, I'm a little older than you, and I remember this British pop band from the 80s called the Thompson Twins. But I know the Rockets and the Pistons hope these twins will sing a different tune, yes. But they sound like very talented young men.
Very, very talented. I'm super excited about this draft, especially this top five. One could make the argument if those two young men don't go the overtime route that they may have even actually went up a little higher in the draft. But hey, top five is top five.
And if I look down a little bit, I see the Wizards based here in Washington. They were able to get one of Wemby's teammates in the draft, Koulibaly.
Bilal Koulibaly is an immense talented young player that was, as you mentioned, a teammate of Wembanyama. We're going to be excited to see what he does for the Washington Wizards. And as we know, the Wizards are also on this rebuild, having offloaded, you know, legendary Bradley Beal. Kristaps Porzingis is out.
Yes.
You know, they're making sure that the cap is huge. And now Jordan Poole comes from the Washington Wizards. Will it be a pool party?
I love it. And let's not forget CP3, Chris Paul, ends up with the Warriors now.
Man.
At 38 years of age.
Chris Paul and Steph Curry on the same team. This is going to be interesting. I wonder how this works out. But we're going to be, it will be an exciting summer league, first off, before we even get, you know, to the league. Summer league is going to be exciting in Vegas.
Finally, Mukbil, I think Wemby might be the first French player ever selected number one in the NBA draft. I know we have Rudy Gobert from France, another top NBA player, but what does his selection and other international players mean in terms of how quickly this league has become so international?
We really see it, because if we just look at, you know, last few MVPs, right? You have Joel Embiid, you know, an African national, you know, he's from Cameroon. You have Giannis, two-time MVP from Greece.
Ties to Nigeria.
You have Jokic. you know, from Serbia. So who was just also just won his first NBA title and is the finals MVP of this season with the Denver Nuggets that will be back next season. But yeah, it just goes to show you this entire league is moving in a direction that has become super global. And it's an exciting time to see in real time what is happening. As we covered in the past as well, the NBA Basketball Africa League is bringing immense talent to the NBA as well. And that will be a new portal directly from the NBA Basketball Africa League and the NBA African Academy straight into the league. Next few seasons, we will be on the lookout for that. I believe there was also a player that went, a Senegalese player that just got drafted, Mohamed Guyaye, who got drafted by the Celtics but was traded to the Hawks.
Okay.
Oh, no, he was drafted by the Hornets, traded to the Hawks.
Okay.
Yeah, he was playing in Washington State last year and was going to be a teammate of Ruben Chinyelu that we had the,
right,
the opportunity
Basketball
to speak with this past season. But I'm sure Ruben's excited to see even somebody that was on his team that could have potentially played with him go to the league. That's going to excite him up to make sure that, you know, he does what he has to do for the Washington State Cougars.
Buckville, one final thought. I know you give the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, pretty high marks for what he's done in his administrative role. What about the NBA holding a regular season game in Africa?
Wow.
Why not? I mean, they've been holding these games in Mexico, in Europe. Why not Africa?
I think that's the next move, honestly, Sonny. Wow. Maybe we got to pitch that to Adam Silver. But I think that will be the next step for them as we are seeing the globalization of the game, playing in Mexico, playing in Europe, having these games played all over.
Asia.
Honestly, I think the BK Arena, you know, would be a great,
perfect,
great spot. As we know, that is an amazing facility, a high quality facility. I would not be shocked if that is the next move for the NBA to really get the African fan base behind, because they are super excited about the game. So to have an NBA exhibition game played there would be amazing.
Muckbill Yabaro, thank you, my man.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonny.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week, for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes, and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Former Chelsea star and two-time African Footballer of the Year, Didier Drogba, has kicked off a campaign to raise awareness about fake agents who take advantage of young players, especially in Africa. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. For years, young footballers have fallen prey to big money schemes by fake agents who peddle false promises of fame and fortune. Players and their families are often conned into paying large sums of money for opportunities in the top leagues in Europe that don't materialize. And the scam is particularly widespread in developing countries across Africa. Former Chelsea star Didier Drogba announced he's partnered with Global Soccer Players Union, FIFPro, and the International Labor Organization with the mission to protect young African players from agent exploitation. And in an animated campaign video, Drogba has a warning. Be careful who you trust.
Yes, you play well.
He offers you a trial at a club abroad. He tells you he knows you'll get a contract because you're that good. All you have to do is pay the agent and all your dreams come true. Not so fast. Are you sure you can trust this person? Some of our friends paid their entire family's savings, everything they had, but they never played abroad. Instead, they were left stranded at an airport or in a shabby space under a stadium with 20 others, or living under a bridge, or even thrown in jail in Asia. And I'm not talking about one player, but thousands just like you, with the same hopes and dreams, have been cheated and left with nothing. Please, I need you to hear this. Be very careful with who you trust. Never trust a person who wants your money. And before you commit to anything, you must contact your player union. I don't want you to be the next.
FIFPro recently surveyed over 200 male and female players from 7 African countries: Botswana, Cameroon, DR Congo, Ghana, Kenya, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. And the survey found that more than 70% had been approached by a fake agent who promised to help them move to another club. More than half were offered a trial but did not receive one. And over 40% of the players contacted never received a contract that they were prepared to sign. FIFPro revealed that in the worst-case scenario, many players find themselves stranded abroad without money to return home. And Drogba says eager young players are most at risk.
I want to say something. And this goes to every football players. Your best agent is not the guy you will trust. The best agent you can have is yourself and your performances. This never lies. So the more you perform, the more clubs are coming to watch you play. So this is something that we should not forget. It's your performance that gets the attention and of the clubs or of good agents. Then you have to check if he's listed in the FIFA agents list that will be available from the 1st of October. I think this is how it should work, but we really keen, I mean, discussing more about it with you and find solutions for you to impact the community more.
You just heard Drogba mention that on October 1st, every working football agent must be licensed by FIFA. The new regulation has been put in place to filter out fake agents. And Drogba says that same vigilance must extend beyond FIFA and football federations. Didier Drogba is one of the most successful African players in Premier League history. The former Ivory Coast international scored 164 goals for Chelsea and clinched 4 league titles, 4 FA Cups, 3 League Cups, and the Champions League with the club. The 2-time Premier League Golden Boot winner posted a Twitter message about his newly launched campaign that read, "This partnership with FIFPro Africa and the ILO appealed to me because we educate and empower young players who will no longer be fooled by fake agents. Africa needs young, talented players to grow up in the continent." Didier Drogba concludes that with the help of federations, he hopes to create a better environment for players that stay in their countries to make a living from their football career. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Voice of America.
And that wraps up the July 6th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.